Have you ever wondered why we do things that we know are wrong? I'm sure that very thing plagues all of us from time to time. It's crazy though, isn't it? To know something's wrong, to know that you shouldn't, and then just to do it? Sometimes the reality is sin and temptation overtake us. We may know that it's wrong, and yet, when it comes time to decide, we do what we want. There are thousands of reasons for that, but the bottom line is that we've been enticed and lured away from God and into our own desires. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 7 through 8, which is our encouraging word for today, Paul says, "But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew. For had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory." In our last show, The Crucifixion, Part 4, Kurt and I started off by talking about the two men who were living in the days of Jesus and were trying to understand what was happening before their eyes. They were seeing everything in real time, and we sympathize with those two men because they don't have enough to figure it out, and God knew that. But they're working on it. They're trying. They're looking into it. They want to know. They just don't have what they need to figure it all out. And Kurt made the point that we have this 2020 vision in hindsight because we can look back and we can see all the things that have been written about him. And so we know so much more than they do. It's just not fair to compare us to them. But we are watching them, and they say to each other, "How can this be happening if he truly is the Messiah?" Kurt said something very interesting in the beginning of that show. He said, "I don't believe anyone in Jerusalem or in Israel understood this about the Messiah. Watching him being led away by the authorities." And I just want to say to all of you that I've been thinking about that a lot. I mean, a lot in the last several weeks, especially now that Kurt has said it out loud. But if you start a little earlier than our encouraging word for the day, 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 25, Paul's building something here. He says in verse 25, "The foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men." That's an amazing verse. The foolishness of God, although God is not foolish ever in any way, but if you were even to consider that, if you think God has done something foolish, it's greater than the wisdom of men. And the weakness of God, if you think there's a weakness that God has, it is far superior to the strength of men. And down later in that reading, he says in verse 27, "But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised, God has chosen. And the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. God has chosen the weak to put the mighty to shame." Go back to the trial of Jesus with me. Think about Jesus standing before the Jewish council. He is there all alone. He's all by himself, and yet he stands there in purity and in his perfected weakness. And in that, God thoroughly exposes their shame. They stood before Jesus in their own strength and in their own wisdom, and we see them today for all that they are. They were greedy, selfish, proud, unloving, and uncompassionate. God hates those things, and as Jesus stood there before them, he shows his own wisdom and power. This moment of time where the light of God crushes the darkness of men also proves in an amazing and unpredictable way that no flesh shall glory in his presence. That's in verse 29. The reality is, if you understand that God is wise, all-knowing, all-powerful, that you could submit to the wisdom and the mystery of God now, by your own choosing. And so you're acknowledging, yes, God is wise. I'm not. I need his help. I need his help in everything and in every moment of my life. We have a hymn that we sing called, "I Need Thee Every Hour." Now you have another option. You can turn away from his truth. You can trust in yourself. You can live a life contrary to his will. But those who do that will be exposed as foolish and weak. It has always been true. We've got to understand it now while we have time. If the foolishness of God is wiser than men, then how great is the wisdom of God that he's kept to himself until these last days? That's the picture we're trying to see. Paul's already said that, you know, God's foolishness is wiser than men. Okay, well, the mystery and his deep and great and awesome wisdom has been kept as a mystery until these last days. So for us, as we hunger and thirst for righteousness, we should want to know everything we can possibly know about the mystery of God. Because Paul says that it concerns us, and he also tells us that it's been revealed. So what is the mystery of God? And I can just see the Apostle Paul saying, I'm glad you asked. Verse 30, but of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God, and righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption, that as it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. The wisdom of God is Jesus Christ. And not just the wisdom of God, Jesus Christ is also the righteousness, the sanctification, and the redemption that we enjoy. Then Paul says that, as it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. So there it is again. If I choose to follow God and to honor his word and his will and live a life according to what he's provided me, then I trust in him. I know that he's wiser than I am. I'm confident in that. And so if I glory, it's always in the Lord. God be praised, always, no matter what. If I'm involved in something, or if I'm being helpful to someone, or I've given my day or my time or my money or anything else that I have, I know that God's given it to me. And so I say, God be praised. It's not me. I'm simply doing what was my responsibility to do because God gave it to me and I know what it is. And then I can glory in the Lord. No flesh is going to glory in his presence. That's impossible. And we've seen men try over and over again and it does not work. But I can glory in him and not apart from him. Let me give you a great verse to remember, and you can use this really how you want. But you can use it especially when tough questions come up. You know, there's a lot of things that we ask about the word of God, the wisdom of God, and we're told now that it's all found in Jesus. We want to go there to him and learn as much as we can. There's still going to be some things that don't fully make sense to us. We can't get our mind around it the way that we would like. And that's challenging. It can be frustrating too. But I want to give you a passage, and it's from Moses. Moses tells the children of Israel in Deuteronomy 29 and verse 29, the secret things belong to the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. That is an awesome passage. Deuteronomy 29, 29, the secret things belong to the Lord our God. Okay, that's the way he wants it, and that's the way that it is. There are some things I cannot know. There are some things God doesn't want me to know. And how can I understand that? Well, because I don't know them. I have questions I want to ask. There's extra things about God and his will and the huge, giant, expansive picture of all of that. And I have questions about some of that. But those things belong to God. They're not mine. If he wanted me to know them, he would have given them to me. And what he wants me to know is his son. How do I know that? Because he's given him to me. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever should believe on him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. I want to do the encouraging word again. I want to read through it. I read 1 Corinthians 2, 7 through 8, but this time let me add verse 6. And think about all that we discussed in these last few minutes. 1 Corinthians 2, verses 6 through 8. However, we speak the wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew. For had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Remember how I started this? Have you ever wondered why we do the things that we know are wrong? Paul tells us if they knew that he was the Lord of glory, they would have never crucified him. They would have bowed their knee and they would have worshiped him and served him with all of their heart and have fully known the love which he brought and the salvation that he provided. But they didn't know, so they did what they would never have done. So why do we do things that are wrong? I know God sees all things. I know he knows my heart. I know he knows the thoughts of my mind before they even developed. If I know he's God, and I know that I am weak in my own strength, I better be careful. I better think things through. I better use my time wisely in service to him.